Can you tell me the story? I've heard a lot before about the babies being swapped. I've heard that my whole life.
Oh, okay. That's my granddaddy, and he would be 100. I guess he'd be 101 years old if he was still living. But he was one of the sweetest old men that lived in Dallas. And he had a hunting accident one time and shot his left arm off just below the elbow. He was quite a character. But when he was a very young man, a teenager as a matter of fact, they had nothing but horses and buggies and wagons. And of course church was the only social event that they had. And they had revival meetings, day services and night services in the summer for one entire week. There's all these young boys, which he was one of them, and they were all outside church that night, which I guess they did then, in and out and in and out, so to speak. And they got outside, and I guess a lot of these babies had been put to sleep on the quilt on the back of the wagon or in the buggy. So my granddaddy and the other teenagers would swap babies, and they took Mr. Smith's baby and put it over in Mr. Brown's wagon. They put Mr. Brown's baby over in Mr. Campbell's.
Three-way swap.
Three-way swap. And the story goes that up and down the road, which was a dirt road, all night they heard the horses and the buggies and the wagons going back and forth, creaking over these wooden bridges and such. Because this man had to take his baby to that one because he recognized it, but his baby wasn't at their house, so they just went all night long trying to swap up babies. So I guess they finally realized that their baby would show up tomorrow at somebody else's house. It didn't matter if they were all safe. They had another story one night. The little lady that went to church all the time, and she went outside, and they had a whale, an old-fashioned whale, out there with a bucket on it, and they rolled it up, the water up with the rope in this old bucket. And these boys all knew that she'd come out in a little while to get her a drink of water. They moved the well curbing off of the well, and it's very fortunate the lake didn't just fall in the well. But she went out and said somebody stole the well, went back in the church yelling that somebody had stole the well and broke up the church with the revival meeting going on. But they have a lot of stories that's been passed down from generation to generation of my grandparents and great-grandparents, my grandmother's grandfather was a young man in the Civil War. He refused to go to fight for the South, and he hid out in a cave over here very close to where my house is now. And one of the ladies, I don't know if it's his aunt or who, she kept carrying his food over there to him all the time because he wasn't going to fight. Finally, he slipped off from there and left and went up in Tennessee somewhere, joined up with a Yankee Army regiment and played the fife for the Yankees with their little drum and bugle type corps until the war was over. He came back into this area. So I guess we do have some betrayers on either side of our family. When my daughter was very, very small, having been born in Michigan and having been born, her last name was Gage. General Thomas Gage was an ancestor of hers in the Revolutionary War. So come to find out, I could get my daughter registered in the Daughters of the American Revolution, but she could have been on both sides. Then I could have gotten her registered in the Daughters of the Confederacy, but she had great-great-grandfathers who had fought for the Yankees and for the South. So we never pursued it because we were going to have a big conflict of interest. One thing, one side was going to throw her off because of the other side, because of her having it. But she does have General Thomas Gage, who fought in the Revolutionary War. He came from England, but he fought for the Americans, and he is a direct, she is a direct descendant of his, down from the Revolutionary War.
Where do you see Gallant in the future? See it growing?
I think that Gallant, since we are, as the crow flies, very, very near this, where this airport is proposed, if this airport is granted to the St. Clair Etowah County area over here near us, I do think that even though China Mountain is between us, it's going to protect us from the sound, from a lot of these environmental pollution and stuff that we are going to encounter with the airport. I do think that our area will, if these older people will sell off their properties, I do believe that our area will grow tremendously in the near future, if that is granted to our area, which we are hoping that it does, because I'm tired of seeing our children have to leave this area to find a job, to have a future.
Yeah, it'd be nice if they could all live right here in Gallup.
Yeah, and I think that if they would just see that, and if it is granted to this area, because to me, we're almost nearly intersecting with Birmingham now, and the way Atlanta has grown, I see that we're going to have to expand someplace, and hopefully it'll be in our area.
Mm-hmm. So, the last time you saw many, many changes.
I think so. To have to be 60 years old, I think that it is tremendous changes to have progressed from that. Now, we did have automobiles when I was born. I'm not that old, but to have seen the World War II, the Korean, Vietnam, the Desert Storm, all these minor wars we're having now. They're not major if you have a child there, but they are minor, so to speak, in the terms of what the velocity of our other wars were. But to have seen electricity put in our little valley, and the progress that's been made with automobiles and actually all over the country, but in our area, see the type homes we have in our area now, I think that I could say that I have really, really seen the changes. When I first started flying from Michigan to Alabama, it was in a turboprop plane, and now I leave Birmingham and 4 hours later I can be in Las Vegas or Los Angeles, and to me that is amazing. To comprehend, and I'm not even flying on the biggest planes that you can go on. So I think that we have, just in my lifetime, I think it is amazing what I have seen, and I hope to see more in my next few years. When I lived in Michigan, and some of the places where I thought I'd be forever, I'd always say that I hope that someday I could live where I'd be. I always see the buzzard roost, which is one mountain that's on one side of it. There's a big rock up there that you can see Gadsden from the top of that mountain. On a clear day, you can see the steel plant and such over there. So I always said I hope that I always lived where I could see that and see Chandler Mountain, which is the mountain on the other side of our little valley here. But now that I've built this little retirement home and got back out here to my little haven, I hope that I can live here until I die and go 2 miles up the road to our little church, country cemetery. We've had two former pastors, who one of them is located in Montgomery now, come back up here and got four grave lots out there in the cemetery. And we have another former pastor, and he got lots up there. He has lots in Birmingham. So I said to him, why would you come back to this little country cemetery and get grave lots to be buried when you have these lots in Birmingham? He told me that he had heard that when Christ came again, he was coming first to Galilee. He wanted to be there to be one of the first ones to see Christ when he returned to the earth. And I told him that I wanted to be buried up there here in Galilee, because that I heard that when you died, you went through Galilee to get to heaven. To me, Galilee is heaven on earth, and I'm here to stay, I hope.